Well, this morning we continue our time through the book of Ruth and this idea of finding love in hard places. I've been enjoying very much going through Ruth and preparing the last 3 weeks for the sermon, and I have really enjoyed being reminded of just the warmth in this book, the warmth of relationship, the connection that happens between those people who are in it. And today, as you've already heard chapter 3 read to you, there's a real lovely picture of where things are going to go. And when we go into chapter 4 next Sunday, Mike Hill will be preaching to you. And so I'm a little bit sad about the fact that I don't get to do the whole series and finish as well. But today's talk is called A Commitment to Provide. A Commitment to Provide. Because that is what we see before us this morning. I have mentioned that the book of Ruth is a little bit like a combination of A Little House on a Prairie and Days of Our Lives. And as we continue, it's getting more Days of Our Lives and less Little House on the Prairie. The romance side of things is about to warm up again. The story so far is that after the death of their husbands, Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth find themselves in Bethlehem. We're told at the end of chapter 1 that the barley harvest is about to begin. But there's a problem. The problem is that they are without a man to provide. At the end of chapter 1, Naomi has made it clear that she went away from Bethlehem to Moab full, and she's returned back to Bethlehem empty. But last week in chapter 2, we saw Ruth go to work one day in the field of Boaz, and she went empty and she came back full. But they're without a man at this point to provide, even though things in chapter 2 seem very positive. Ruth seems to have found favor with this good guy, Boaz. He's supposed to be a man of standing, and we're told in the last chapter that he is even a kinsman redeemer. And we had a look at what that was. It's somebody in the family, it's somebody near of kin, whose responsibility and privilege it is to look after somebody who might need to be vindicated or rescued. And so in my notes, I've just got, this is so exciting, exclamation mark. I love this story as it unfolds. And so as we come to chapter 3, in the very first verse, we see, as we look at this act of kindness that's about to occur, that Naomi once again shows her desire to act thoughtfully and in kindness to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. She says in verse 1, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well?" It's a funny sort of question, isn't it? Sometimes in-laws are known for being more involved in the lives of their children-in-laws than maybe is wanted. And yet here, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you?" is an interesting question, because it's actually not her responsibility to provide for her daughter-in-law. It's actually the responsibility of another man somewhere, but none are around. And so she asked the question, "Well, should I not find a home for you?" And this is in the context, of course, of what has happened in chapter 2, that Boaz has shown a keen interest in Ruth. In other words, Naomi's question actually has something specific in mind, has somebody specific in mind, and that's Boaz. And so she tells Ruth to prepare to be a bride. Now, I don't know if you realize that, but the things, the instructions that she gives her are very much that. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. We tend to wash and perfume ourselves to go to the shops, but in those days, if you were going to go to that much trouble with personal hygiene, there was something much bigger on the agenda. She says, "Wash, perfume yourself, put on your best clothes." And then in verse 4, she gives her a very strange instruction. So the harvest has come to an end, and Boaz is going to be at the threshing floor. And at the end of it, there's going to be festivities, and he's going to lay down and rest. And Naomi says to Ruth that when he is asleep, go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Really strange instructions, aren't they? Go and uncover his feet and lie down and he will tell you what to do. One of the things that I guess we naturally begin to wonder is if there is something a little bit naughty going on here. Why else would a woman go to a man in the middle of the night, uncover his feet and wait for him to tell her what to do? But it's actually much more innocent than that. You see, one of the things that happened in that culture, in that time, was the idea of marriage was very much one of provision, very much one of protection and covering. And so as she goes to Boaz and goes to his feet and uncovers his feet, there's the opportunity for something to occur if Boaz wishes. If we were to go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, and so this is later than when this story is set, but if we go to Ezekiel 16, verse 8, it has this picture of God proposing to his people. It says, "Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine." I hope you can start to see what's happening here in Ruth. This is a marriage conversation that is about to occur between Ruth and Boaz. This isn't the first time either in this book that we've had this idea of covering, of protection, of providing. And it's throughout Scripture. Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The picture of whether it's a chicken or an eagle or a duck or a swan or some sort of bird covering its young with its wings. We're told in Scripture that God desires, he longs to bring in and cover God's people with his wings to provide protection for them. And so this imagery of provision has actually occurred in chapter 2 last week. I don't know if you remember. Chapter 2, verse 12, where Boaz speaks to Ruth about what it is that she has done in looking after Naomi and following Naomi back to Bethlehem. He says, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So this imagery is happening on a number of levels. One, it's a marriage image, this idea of being covered and provided for, but it's also very much the image of how God relates to us and his people. And in this situation, even to individuals like Ruth. So you as an individual are somebody who comes under God's love and care and provision and protection. And now in chapter 3, verse 9, she's told to spread the corner of your garment Ruth tells Boaz, "Spread the corner of your garment since you are a kinsman redeemer." There's actually a play on words going on here in the original language that you are unable to pick up in the English. The word for corner is actually little wings. And so in chapter 2, we've got this idea that Ruth has come under God's wings for refuge, and now Ruth says to Boaz, "I want to come under your small wings because you are a kinsman redeemer. You are the one who has the responsibility or the privilege to watch over me, to provide for me, to protect me." And now there's a really important moment in the story, in the plot. How is Boaz going to actually respond to this? One of the things we often think is that it's traditional for a man to propose to a woman, but it would be forward, though maybe today that's not considered this so much. But for many of us, we remember a time where it would be forward for a woman to propose to a man. But what's happened here, the reality is that Ruth has brought up the subject with Boaz. How is he going to respond? How does he respond to being reminded of his kinsman redeemer duties? And so in verse 10, we find out. he has an amazing response. He says, "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier." We assume that he is referring to the kindness that she showed Naomi. Boaz goes on to explain what he means. He says, "You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." And so just for a moment, we assume that Boaz is of a more mature age. But he recognizes that it's an act of kindness that Ruth has come to him and asked for his protection and covering. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And so, in verse 11 of chapter 3, Boaz makes it very clear that Ruth, who he refers to as his daughter at this point, and so maybe there is quite an age gap there, it says, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." And so if we had been waiting in true Days of Our Lives form, waiting for the next episode, the next part of the plot to unravel and to come clear, it would be one of those moments now, wouldn't it? How is Boaz going to respond? In fact, I'd imagine there would have been many advertisements on TV before this point being where Ruth makes herself vulnerable before Boaz and says, "Please protect me," and then it'd be, "What happens tonight in this episode?" And now we know. He says, "I will do everything that you have asked." There is that constant thing about Ruth, that this idea of a kinsman redeemer is that this always points to God. The covering thing, yes, it's Ruth coming to Boaz to be his wife, to be under his covering. But we also know Boaz has made it clear that she is coming under God's covering. And this idea of kinsman redeemer is not just related to Boaz and Ruth. It's related to Ruth and God. It's related to the people of God and God. It's related to you and me and the covering that we find ourselves under in the arms of Jesus. Do you remember last week we looked at the definition of a kinsman redeemer? A male relative who, according to various laws found in the Pentateuch, had the privilege or the responsibility to act for a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need of vindication. Well, Boaz is willing to come through. And in this way, Boaz points us to God, doesn't he? As the true kinsman redeemer. If you look at God and you look at Scripture, you realize that God has had a desire to be our kinsman redeemer from the very beginning of Genesis. He has been covering our nakedness since Genesis 3:21, when he made clothes for Adam and Eve after they had sinned and realized that they were naked. If we were to jump into the New Testament to John 3:17, I find it's one of the most forgotten verses because it comes after John 3:16, which of course reminds us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And if anybody believes in him, they shall not perish but have eternal life. But John 3:17 reminds us that God did not send Christ to come into the world to condemn us, but to save us. He's come to vindicate, to rescue us. God is the kinsman redeemer who has been committed to providing for us since Genesis 9, when Noah comes out of the ark and he makes a commitment that he will never wipe out mankind again. In fact, he will provide for them. But really, he's been doing that since Genesis 1. He is the one who's refused to give up on us since we fell into sin in Genesis 3. And all of Scripture just bears testimony to this amazing God we follow, this kinsman redeemer. And this God that we believe in will not rest until he has rescued us. And that's what we see once again in this story. When we come to the end of chapter 3, when everything has played out, Naomi says in verse 18, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens." And then she says, "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." She's saying about Boaz, isn't she? She feels that she knows Boaz as a man of standing, and he said that he will see this through, that he will do what he can. And Naomi is confident that he will. And this is once again pointing us to our Lord and Savior and his commitment to save us and the fact that he will not rest until that matter is settled. Jeremiah 29:11 is such an encouraging verse about this God who wants the best for us. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In Psalm 94:14, it says, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance." This is a God whose desire, the longing of his heart, is to protect you, to protect me, to provide for us. So I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a theme that's been running through each week, aside from the covering and the protection theme and the kinsman redeemer theme. But in chapter 1, and I alluded to this earlier, in chapter 1, Naomi says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She goes from being full to being empty, she believes. And in chapter 2, we're reminded that Ruth, in the field of Boaz, it says she ate all she wanted and had some left over. So Ruth goes from being empty to being full. And in chapter 3, we have this scene towards the end of the chapter where at the time where it's time for Ruth to go, before she goes, Boaz says, "Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." And so he measures out 6 bushels of grain so that she can take that home with her. There is this theme in Ruth that this God who provides will make sure that we are not empty, but rather that we are full. So what's going to happen next week? Well, I'm going to leave Mike to share that with you. I really do wish that I was able to be here, but I'm sure I'll be able to watch the video myself. But I do just want to point to the fact that there's some competition next week, isn't there? Because Boaz says, "Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I." There's actually a bit of a plot twist at the end. Boaz might be keen, but is he the eligible one to do it? So he says to her, "Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." And so Boaz is confident that that Ruth is going to be looked after, but he recognizes that there's competition. There's somebody else who has first take on this situation, is able to claim Ruth for his own to redeem. And this is an interesting thing to finish on. This idea that there is competition for our hearts. God, for us, is like Boaz. He is keen to redeem us. He is keen to vindicate. He is keen to protect. He is keen to provide for us. That's the God who we have. And yet, for some reason, our hearts often find it hard to be true to him. And so I just want to finish by saying that it helps to remind ourselves of God's unrelenting love. It helps to remind ourselves that he is focused and intentional with that love for us. And we see it most clearly in his sending Jesus to die for us and to win our hearts back to him, our kinsman redeemer. It's helpful to remember the lengths God has gone to save us. There's a sense in which, as he's done that, he has wooed our hearts. He has gently wooed us back to him. He doesn't force us or drive us to him. Instead, he lovingly provides with the hope that we will voluntarily turn and come to him. So how will you remind yourself of this truth each and every day this week? How will you remind yourself that you have a kinsman redeemer in God, that you have a savior in Jesus Christ, that you have somebody for your heart to be true to? How will you be unrelenting, focused, and intentional about that? I want to encourage you this week Perhaps it's as simple as just reading Ruth 3 a couple of times and reminding yourselves, even putting yourself in that story and reminding yourself that Boaz represents God and that Ruth represents you and that you are the one who's being provided for, that you have one who will fight for you. You have one who will even die for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your protection. We want to thank you that you have redeemed us and saved us. We want to thank you that you have called us to you. We want to thank you that you love us deeply. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us this week not to forget that. Help our hearts to be true to you as your heart has been true to us. In Jesus' name, amen.